Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge introduces incredible stories shared by women across the globe who have experienced the great heights of success and, at times, the agony of defeat. With a vision to impart wisdom and advice on how to tackle barriers and soar to new heights, the show uncovers different perspectives to help you find your inner strength and to power up your own voice so you can excel in life.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge, host of Women Worldwide. Welcome to the show. I want to kick this episode off with a focus on using media to build your brand and being on camera or in front of the camera. So somebody asked me recently if I liked being in front of the camera and how I felt about appearing on TV for interviews. And of course, I had to admit, I am a self-professed camera hog. I absolutely love getting photos taken and I love being on videos and on TV, but it wasn't always the case. So I guess my love for the camera grew over time and for media. And maybe you feel this way and maybe you don't, but whether it's video, TV, or even a photo, you know, getting in front of the camera is an opportunity to share something that you really like or feel strongly about. And this is just such a great segue into my special guest today. She's a digital lifestyle enthusiast and video marketer, her name is Stephanie Carls. And Stephanie is, whether she's on camera or off camera, she pretty much lights up the room with her smile. She has an incredible presence, really friendly and natural. And you can absolutely tell that she's having so much fun when she's on camera at an event or she's being interviewed on TV or even when she creates her own videos for her blog, My Savvy Life. So Stephanie is here to share her story and to impart advice on how media has advanced her career and how you too can build your brand and feel more comfortable on camera. So Stephanie, it's such a pleasure to have you on my show. Welcome.
Thank you so much. It is quite an honor to be here. So thank you.
Well, I've been so looking forward to this segment because anything about media and especially, you know, being in front of the camera and building your brand, you certainly have a passion for social media and online technology. So let's start there. What do you think are the most significant changes and challenges in media today?
Well, I think that we've heard for so many years, and I say so many years, probably meaning about two, now that, you know, video is the next thing you need to pay attention to, video. And now I really do not believe that that was actually true. Yes, I think it was something that people had to watch for, and it was one of those almost the warning signs of it's coming and you're going to have to pay attention to it. And now I truly believe that in 2016, this is now it. This is now what everybody, I think, was planning on, was talking about. And now we have live video at our fingertips, literally on the devices that we have in our pocket. And so now I think this is going to be some of the biggest changes that we are going to be seeing in social media and just in overall media today, because I think that we've had the power at our fingertips, you know, just typing on the keyboard and putting out different pieces that I think had been really changing the way that people interacted with brands and interacted even with the media and news. And now the power in your fingertips is now to turn on a live video and tell the story right from that point. And so I think that the authenticity that we've all been talking about and preaching about all these years behind a keyboard is now completely coming true because you're going to be shining on camera. And if you're not authentic, it's truly going to show.
Yeah, that is so true. Video is really easy. It tells a super compelling story. But if you don't come across authentic and sincere, people are just going to see right through you. So how has, you know, with all of the changes and this ability to do more and say more, and we have to use video now, how do you feel media has helped you personally to kind of propel you forward in your career?
Well, I think really taking advantage of video from, you know, all the way back in 2009, whenever I first started doing a lot of this, that's where I really feel like I took advantage of what was available and, you know, kind of getting started on YouTube and putting some different things out there. And even though that has continually changed and evolved through the years, which is a good thing, I think that actually really did help me, because then as people were then, quote, meeting me for the first time, so maybe running across one of the videos or on the blog, well, my blog, the majority, a good 99% of it is just all video. And so I think that was great, number one, because you have the power to start early and, of course, to have that brand out there. So people are like, yeah, she's been doing video for a long time. But then the other piece is that they had an opportunity to, quote, meet me face to face, even though it wasn't necessarily face to face, but in watching me through a screen, you probably felt like you knew me much more than if you were reading a blog post. And so I think that was, at one point, I kind of felt like that was almost a problem that I had, as I'm like, oh man, I just really don't like to write. But if I could be in front of a camera, I'll tell you all the stories you want to hear. And so I think that now it's definitely to my advantage that I've had that opportunity to then grow and evolve with everything, because then it's helped me really figure out, yes, this is definitely what I want to talk about. This is a passion that I have for technology, and especially with the reason that I say a digital lifestyle is because we see a lot of lifestyle bloggers out there that are talking about crafts and food and different things that they're doing around their home and DIY. You do not want me to DIY anything. However, if you want me to DIY maybe a screen cleaner, I can completely help you with that. And so give me your technology. Let's talk about the newest in tech. And so we are constantly surrounded in our lives with technology. And so it's fun to talk about it more in a way of, don't worry, you don't need to be so overwhelmed. This technology is going to be here to help, and here are some great suggestions on how to use that. And so again, by using video, I think that has then helped propel my brand forward, because I think people got a chance to, quote, meet me early on, and it didn't have to wait until, let's say, 2015 or 2016.
That's awesome. And, you know, just what you said before, helping people with technology, I do think that people need help. And, you know, your blog is My Savvy Life, correct? Is it mysavvylife.com?
It is just stephaniecarles.com. But yes, okay. The blog named is My Savvy Life.
Awesome. And, you know, what are some of the videos? Talk a little bit about the type of technology that you show through video, or like the hacks that you do to help people.
Sure. Well, one of the things that I even just mentioned a couple minutes ago was the DIY screen cleaner. So you go to some of the stores and you see the little screen cleaner sitting there. Well, sometimes you're going to pay $10 to $20 when literally all that is alcohol and water. So let me just show you how to, you know, mix that up, put it in a spray bottle, you got it, and it cost way less than $20. In fact, you probably already had everything that you needed inside your house already. The other things are looking at websites, plugins for your browsers, you know, apps. I say apps, but, you know, I think the majority of us are not downloading the number of apps that we were probably back in 2012 as an example. And so if I talk about an app, it's probably going to be a pretty good one that you definitely need to start using, because again, I just don't think that apps are quite in the spotlight as much as they were before, when it really felt like there was literally an app for everything. And yes, those still exist, but again, I just don't feel like we're downloading as many of them anymore. And then also looking at wearables. So where has that marketplace gone? I'm a huge Android Wear fan. I love talking about how I use my watch, because again, I think we're still at that newness of yes. Wearables. And I think people are trying to be like, I don't know, like, do I really need that? And so now it's been fun hearing a lot of people that have commented on the video saying, I either want to get one because I've been watching your videos, or I got this exact one because of your videos. And also, thank you so much for helping me understand how to use it and some of the different apps that I needed to add to it, or just how to use voice commands. And then even, you know, trying to look at, okay, what are some of the differences that iPhone users look at Android users? And part of that is wireless charging. As Android users, we are able to just plop our phone down right on a wireless charger and it works. And so I think Apple fans have been saying, hey, that would be awesome if it's available, because now it's being built into furniture, it's being built into cars. And iPhone users, again, are sitting there saying, we want to be a part of this. And so I showed even a quick hack of, you can add in a quick little piece to your iPhone that will allow you to then have wireless charging and doesn't cost you an arm and a leg. And so these are the types of things that I've been talking about, and it's been fantastic, really growing the audience and bringing in new people and meeting new people. Because I think whenever you first start out, you feel like, well, I'm not really talking to anybody.
Yeah, who
really
am I
listening.
Talking to?
right. And so then it's great because, you know, it's growing a YouTube audience is so different than growing a Twitter audience. And this has been, you know, something that I've really, really enjoyed. And so that community that's been built, there's nothing better than that on YouTube. It's a really strong, great community that's on there. And so if you're able to take advantage of it, that's definitely where to be.
Awesome. And I'm going to ask you a question about YouTube and strategy, but there's so many other questions that are coming to mind. First, I want to say that I have to check out your videos about the wearables. I have a smartwatch. It's a Moto 360, and I probably, I love it. Absolutely love it. I got it as a gift. I think it was for my birthday last year, and I don't think I'm tapping into the full potential. So I will be on your blog, My Savvy Life, absolutely checking that out. But what do you like the most about being a digital lifestyle correspondent and a video marketer? And also, are these more common titles today? So two-part question.
Sure. I think that, and I'll take the last part of that is, yes and no. I think that yes, once you kind of explain exactly what you're talking about, especially when you say digital lifestyle, people are like, yeah, that's awesome. I totally need to, exactly what you were doing earlier. I'm like, yeah, I probably haven't seen all of those. I need to go back and see that. And then the title starts to make sense whenever you realize the topics that, you know, I'm always talking about. And then, you know, in terms of video marketing, yes, absolutely. I think that so many people are then realizing, okay, holy cow, we heard that it was coming. It's here. So what can my brand and my company do to then get involved in video marketing? And so I think that these have been such cool ways for people to then show that, you know, their authentic selves and kind of get out there. And yes, there has to be a strategy behind it. And so having somebody that can at least help out with that has been really great. And I think a really great opportunity for me to then go and speak and talk at other organizations that are having events and so on. So it's just been fantastic. And then just kind of going in on why I enjoy doing the correspondent work and all of that is it's a great opportunity for that brand to then have somebody that is there either live or recording questions and interviews that are taking place at the event, because then they're able to then have an entire video that they could either use to say, here is what's happening, here's what happened, here's who we talked to, and also being able to break up those interviews into different videos as well. And the reason that I think I've loved it so much is because a lot of the time at events, there will be a video camera walking around and taking videos. And of course, what do you see people do? You automatically see them like, oh, whoa. And then they start ducking. And
yes.
They're like, whoa, that's a video camera. Whoa. But they don't duck whenever they see just a regular camera and people are taking still photographs. And
yeah,
so people
it's much more
are
comfortable.
Still, exactly. They are still overwhelmed by the fact that a camera is in their face. And even if it's just kind of passing by, they're still like, oh my gosh, video camera. And that's still happening, even though we are all so used to having video cameras out. And so the great part about having a correspondent there is people are 10 times more likely to feel comfortable in front of the camera if they have somebody either standing with them, asking them the questions, which the camera doesn't always necessarily have to capture that question being asked, because what they could just capture is the person responding to that question. And then they feel so much more comfortable because somebody's standing there with them. They're not having to feel, even though they are speaking and they're thinking on their toes, they don't feel like they are because they're standing there with somebody. So it's that whole, we're in this together and we're going to do this. I'm standing here. I'm either protecting you. I'm here to support you. They are just still way more comfortable with somebody there. And so I think that's the fun part of being that correspondent, because you're almost like a little cheerleader. Like, come on, you know, do you want to come and talk? We can do this. It's super easy. I'll just ask you a couple of quick questions. And then they don't feel as scared.
Well, it sounds like so much fun what you do, and you make people feel very comfortable. I've actually worked with you, so I have firsthand experience. I know how comfortable you make people feel getting them on camera. So, you know what? Let's touch on, you had mentioned strategy before. So if you're going to be a digital lifestyle correspondent and a video marketer, you probably have to have a YouTube strategy. How important is having that strategy in place and video marketing in general?
So it's a really interesting question, because I almost have to say that a video marketing strategy is way different than a YouTube marketing strategy. And the reason that I say that is because if you are using, you know, maybe just video for your business in general, a lot of the time businesses think, well, I'll just put it on YouTube and then, you know, I'll take that video and then embed it into my site and I'm done. That's mm-hmm. my YouTube presence. And then that's my video marketing strategy. It's just spread it everywhere, but it's hosted on YouTube.
Right.
And so that's really doing it the wrong way, because there is an entire strategy around YouTube and SEO. Obviously, they're owned by Google. And so they are the number two search engine out there. And so you have to then think of, okay, well, how do I need to be found on YouTube? And then the other strategy behind, what do I need to title my video? What do I need to use as keywords? What do I need to have in the description of the video? Is how is this going to show up in searches? And if you start thinking of the number of times that you've searched on Google for some type of a topic, well, how many times have you actually seen a Vimeo video pop up, either at all or before a YouTube video? And that's typically almost never.
Never.
And so that's right. That's part of the strategy that you have to think about is, yes, you can host it there, but you also have to think of the goodness that I was talking about earlier about the community that's there on YouTube. And that is where when people start to say, well, nobody's watching my video, nobody's commenting, nobody's liking, even disliking, I'm getting nothing over on YouTube. And I'm like, well, there's an entire community that you haven't tapped into. And so let's see what you need to do. But then in terms of video marketing, so sure, you can have it on YouTube, but what are you going to do with it on your website? What are you going to do with it on different social platforms? And so there's all different kinds of ways and even different things that you can do. And it doesn't always have to involve YouTube. You can use different players like Brightcove as an example. That might be the place that, or the platform that you're using whenever you embed it on your website, if you're not so crazy over YouTube views or anything like that, because there's a lot more capabilities that are available through that type of a platform where you can add in more places for people to then click and learn more. They're able to interact with your video a little bit more through one of those platforms. And of course, you also have to think about Facebook. Facebook video is the biggest way that you're going to get that attention and be placed on people's news feeds. And so you also have to play that game. So you can, you know, maybe make a separate video that's saying, hey, I just did a new video on wireless charging on your iPhone. So it's here. Here's the link. You'll have that link as soon as this video is done. Go watch it on YouTube. Tell me what you think about it. That's driving them over to YouTube, and that's perfectly fine. And the best thing about it is that you've used Facebook video. So you either upload an entire different video, or you could always just upload that video straight to Facebook. Yes, you're not going to get the views on YouTube, but yet you're still going to rise on people's news feeds. And so again, it's the whole video marketing game that you have to play, and you have to figure out that strategy in order to be found, to have people interact with you, and of course, to get your message across.
Right. Why bother creating the video if you're not going to actually give yourself a chance to be found? Yeah, that's some really, really good advice on the YouTube strategy and how to kind of look at that separately, yet there are things that you can do to make sure you're tapping into the power of, you know, a search engine that you said is number two to Google. So thanks for sharing that, Stephanie. I've been chatting with my special guest, digital lifestyle enthusiast and video marketer, Stephanie Carls. And in the next segment, Stephanie is going to discuss tips for appearing in videos and also broadcast interviews. And I also just want to take a moment to mention that this episode of Women Worldwide is brought to you by FreshBooks, a really easy-to-use cloud accounting software. And I've known about FreshBooks since 2009 when I first wrote about them in one of my books, Putting the Public Back in Public Relations. You know, when you're a business owner, you definitely face your share of challenges, not to mention during tax season, which we just went through. It's so important to have your records and your reports extremely organized. So for all of you business owners and those aspiring to be your own boss, FreshBooks has some great tools and customer support to help you. And this is what I like about FreshBooks. Their accounting software helps you fly through all of the annoying admin and paperwork that you sometimes don't want to be bothered doing, but you know you have to. And really what it does is it makes it that much easier for creative types who don't like dealing with the numbers. So it takes about 30 seconds to create and send out a really professional looking invoice. You can add your own logo and color scheme so your invoices are branded. Your clients can pay online, and when you give them more options to pay, you get paid more quickly. And I also love this one, is that you can see when your clients open an invoice, so no more hearing them say, "I didn't get that invoice," because you actually know that they did. And a couple more points for customer support. You always get a human quickly, which is so good. And FreshBooks also handles time tracking, because we all know time is money. So we have to know where the time and the money goes in order to be profitable. So here's something very special that FreshBooks is offering for you, Women Worldwide listeners. You can get a free month right now, and you don't even need a credit card. All you have to do to claim your free month is to go to freshbooks.com/women and enter Women Worldwide in the How Did You Hear About Us section. You want to make sure that they know we sent you. So now you can sign up today for your free month at freshbooks.com/women.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Segment 2 is coming right up.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communications and innovative technology. Pure Performance Communications works with businesses to move their audiences from interest to action, giving you a roadmap that fosters deeper engagement and forges stronger relationships along the way. Visit us at pureperformance.com. Thank you.
Now, back to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. Welcome back to the show, where digital lifestyle enthusiast and video marketer Stephanie Carls and I were just chatting about social media and how media can help to propel you forward in your career. So, Stephanie, let's get more into you and your video work and feeling comfortable on camera. So you do a lot of videos for My Savvy Life. I also know that you're frequently on TV showing products and being interviewed. Maybe you can share some tips on, you know, how you can be in front of the camera and feel comfortable.
I think that there has to be a part of you that I think I hear a lot of people say, well, I want to do video, except I don't really like to be in front of a camera. So there has to be that part of you that truly wants to do this. Because if you are just thinking that, well, video is so popular, maybe I should just do it, that's awesome. And that's totally fine to, of course, give it a whirl, but just maybe try it on your own first and really see if you like it maybe before you put something out as a start of, you know, maybe saying, I'm going to start doing video blogging. However, I also have to say that as much as some of the time it doesn't always make sense, but yes, practice still makes perfect. And so if you're going to start and you're going to at least try it out, see how it works, see how you like it, it doesn't mean it has to be published anywhere. So maybe record yourself. I mean, now we're walking with 4K video cameras in our pockets with our iPhones. And so give it a shot, you know, either hold it, put it up on a tripod, something, and start practicing and going through what you're wanting to talk about. And of course, as we talked about in that first section, is that passion helps whenever you're talking about something too. Is just because it might be a really popular topic, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're really passionate about it. And I think that's what definitely comes across whenever you're talking about something on camera, because if you're not passionate about it and you're kind of showing that you don't really care, everyone else is going to see that as well. So again, that's the power and also the curse of video. So I think it's just that, give it a shot, try it. Because again, you never know if you don't try it. And I think that's where, you know, a lot of people have been saying, I want to do it, but I'm not comfortable. But then once they get the hang of it, they feel a lot more comfortable. So just, you have to start somewhere. And I think that, you know, I go back and I look at some of my really early stuff. I have to laugh because I'm like, that is so awful. But yet again, if I did not at least get started doing something, I would never have the opportunity to actually improve on something. And so I think that's where also a lot of businesses are having that trouble, because they're like, well, we want everything to be perfect, so we have to wait until we have this. And then I always have to say, well, start with something and then see what is catching on, what you guys are enjoying doing, because then that's going to show. Your audience is going to tell you what they like. And then the other part is you're going to have the opportunity to actually improve upon something. So number one, just get started.
Yeah, get started. So on the note of improvement, do you find that you're watching your own videos or, you know, whatever footage is of you, and you critique yourself to improve? Or did you ever maybe early on take your videos and share them with family members or colleagues and say, what do you think? How did you get your feedback? Or did you just do it on your own?
I laugh because I just went ahead and did it on my own, put it out there, let it go, which might not have been the absolute best strategy. However, I just did it. And then I do have people that I trust in terms of friends and family that I have asked. And my biggest question that I have actually asked of them is, you know, yes, what did you think? Is there anything that you think that I can improve on? But my biggest question that I always ask them is, if you were sitting in a room with me and I was telling you about this exact same topic, is that me on camera that you're seeing? Do you actually feel like, yes, that's the Stephanie that if we were sitting down and talking with, that you would get?
Oh, and that's a good test.
And it's hard because, you know, I think sometimes in the beginning, I edit my videos. However, I don't always like giggle and be all super silly when you might see me on another platform and probably showing some of my true colors and true silliness in some of the other pieces. And so I've had some people who have said, I want more of that fun and silly Stephanie that I know and probably especially my kids know.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, friends and stuff. And so it hasn't come out as it's a problem, because they're like, you can fly through content and it's awesome. It's so helpful. But they said, but we still know that there's still something more to you in those videos. And so it's something that has changed a little bit with me. Is maybe I'm still not showing maybe some of my silly outtakes, but I'm doing it by myself. And so probably the things that I say to the camera whenever I mess up are just me rolling my eyes and being like, oh, come on. And so they're really probably not as funny as if somebody was in the room with me. But, you know, long story short, you do have to have a trusted individual to help ask some of those questions too. And also, you're going to still be your, you know, your harshest critic. And that's okay too, because you know what? You also know yourself better than anybody else does. And so even though you tend to be harder on yourself, you also are hopefully a little bit more honest with yourself whenever you look at it and you're like, yeah, I definitely could have tried that out. And those types of events that you're looking at a video in the past and then you're thinking about what I'm going to be doing with this next video, that's still going to give you something to improve upon, which we just talked about. And so even though something doesn't come out perfectly, and yes, I am here raising my hand and saying I have put out things that I've said done is better than perfect, and I've put it out anyway.
Yeah, and nothing's ever perfect.
Right. And that's where I have to just say, you know what, next time, that's okay. And so I think that you have to get over that whole perfect outlook on things. You know, I've noticed, and, you know, I'm sure that after I say this, people, if they're really that bored, will probably go to my YouTube channel and be like, oh, I found those mistakes she was talking about. But, you know, certain times where all of a sudden it's not in focus, or I thought that I was in the middle, but I was not in the middle of the, you know, of the picture. So it's one of those times where you just say, you know what, it's okay. Moving on, next one. And you know what? Those things that I'm picking out have never been mentioned in the comments. And so it's just one of those times you have to say, it's no big deal. Get it out. Nothing. It's fine.
Get over it.
You're right. Yeah.
No, I think that's really good advice, because if we waited to, first of all, perfect is boring. If we waited for everything to be absolutely perfect, then we would never get anything out there. So
right.
I do want to mention that, you know, you have a busy career as a digital lifestyle enthusiast, video marketer. You have a family, a husband, you know, kids. How crazy is your day to get everything done? And when, you know, how do you manage the craziness?
You know, it's funny, because I still think that even Drew, my husband, has said, I don't even know how you do this. And so working a full-time job and then also having, you know, other projects that I'm personally involved in, of course, doing the videos and managing a personal brand online and staying in touch with friends and family and then doing everything with kids. You know what? I still sit here and I'm like, I do not even know either. However, it really comes down to I do like things to be organized. So in terms of having the calendar all set and done, because again, if it's not in the calendar, it's not happening.
Right.
It also goes, you know, rings true for to-do lists. Yes, I'm a huge list taker, list maker, list doer, everything. And I think that adding technology has helped with that. And so, yes, I like writing on paper, but I use such things as, you know, the Neo Smart Pen that I write it on paper, and then I also have the digital copy of exactly what I just wrote. And so that can go into their app. It can go into Evernote. It can go, they have a brand new planner. And so that's been fantastic for me, because those days that if I were to leave my great and special notebook somewhere, I would be completely lost, because I know that I've taken notes from meetings and everything in that notebook. And so this is the beauty of, wow, well, you know what? No worries. I'll get it later, because I already have a digital copy of it. And
yeah,
there's that piece. And then, right, exactly. And then, you know, running everything, again, how technology helps us through apps like Wunderlist. And so that is something that I have a personal to-do list. I have a list that I'm working on with my projects. My husband and I keep our grocery list in there. So no matter who is going to stop at the grocery store, you always know that you have the most updated list already. You know, the projects around the house are all on there. And so it just makes it very easy to manage, because everybody always feels like they're on the exact same page as the
That's
other person.
Awesome. You know, we have,
right.
We have the Amazon Echo, Alexa. Yes. So we use her for our shopping list. So whenever I'm in the kitchen and I go in the refrigerator and a kid has eaten something and it's gone, I'll say, Alexa, add oranges to the shopping list. And and it's so great because she just takes down and she repeats it back and she takes down the shopping list. And then when I'm in the supermarket, you know, I have an app on my phone. I open it up and there's my whole list that Alexa has taken. So it's amazing, the list,
right,
and what you can do with technology. I wanted you to comment on one thing because you said, you know, as a part of your busy lifestyle, you are managing your brand online. You talk a lot about millennials, I'm sure, you know, as you are giving advice about videos and YouTube strategies. What would you tell millennials about, you know, media and their reputation?
Be very, very careful of the digital footprint that you are leaving. We have the fun technology of Snapchat. And yes, it's great because everything disappears within 24 hours and all of that. Yes, it's kind of like, who cares what I do? Well, yes, you can still see who is taking a screenshot of that. But that app, I think, has probably, I almost want to say, opened individuals into thinking that they still have no consequence when it comes to putting things out online. And, you know, I think that before Snapchat was here, there was Twitter and, I mean, of course, there's still Twitter and Facebook and everything, but yet now I feel like they're not posting as much on there now that Snapchat is here, because again, it's the whole going to disappear. However, I think anything that you do online, on your phone, over the internet can always be tracked, can always be taken, because everything you're putting on Snapchat, I guarantee they have on their servers. And even though it's like, well, no, it's technically gone. No,
it's
there's still
there.
Going to be some trace of something. And so anything that you do online is written in permanent marker. And a lot of people are thinking it's in pencil because, again, if I made a silly tweet and I didn't mean it, well, I can just delete it and it's gone forever. That's not true, because on Twitter, you never know who took a screenshot of what you said. And
exactly.
This is now being taken that, I mean, of course, this is not necessarily happening to a millennial, except I wouldn't doubt that this could happen. You know, there have been some people that I know that were writing different pieces on their thoughts on an event, on people, and those individuals actually then took them to court over it. And so it was a gentleman that both you and I are familiar with, and so he had to then take down the blog, even though it wasn't anything crazy bad whatsoever. But again, it's just this whole piece of, you never know what people are going to think, and you never know what could even be taken a different way. And so even though, as much as we all talk about being your authentic selves and, you know, being free and being open and talking about what you're feeling and whatnot, you still have to have some sort of a gate to say, you know what, I'm going to keep this to myself, either shared with a smaller group of people, and it doesn't necessarily have to go online. And I think that's where the millennials are then, even though me still being a card-carrying millennial here, I still think that there was a time in early on in my life that we didn't have these types of things. And so even going into the next generation that they've never known anything but iPads and the internet.
Yeah.
They're going to have to learn, I think, an even harder lesson than some of us millennials have then had to learn, because, you know, I know a lot of them who put stuff out all the time and I'm like, well, that's not appropriate. And I just think that that's where there's going to have to be a lot of training that's going to be taking place in terms of people that, you know, are having children now and helping them understand how to be safe online, how to, you know, really manage what they're putting out there. Because again, even as parents, we're already building that digital footprint for our children. And so some of the times whenever I'm getting ready to put something out about my sons, I'm looking for, okay, is that too personal? Is it giving away where they're at, schools, any type of information that anybody could ever use, which I would hope could never, ever happen. But yet you also have to think about not only your personal brand that you're putting out there, but what type of digital footprint are you creating for your children?
Exactly.
And so that's something that if they were to then go and Google their name, what are they going to find when they technically have not created anything?
Yeah, I feel like children are born online. Think about it when people are posting their sonogram pictures of their babies even before they're born. So you make a really, really good point. It's not just about your own footprint, but if you're a parent, guess what? It's your kids as well.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
And also, exactly. I think what you said about training earlier, it's not when someone gets to college that they should be learning about how to protect their reputation online. Think in middle school, you know. I remember, you know, our kids were online. Yeah, I guess it was in middle school. It was definitely before high school. So this is all really, really important. And the other thing I wanted to note, Snapchat, that comfort of thinking that, it just disappears. Also, some of those sites that teens might think they're anonymous and they make threats or they say things that look like, you know, verbal harassment. Even if you're anonymous, you can be found. So, you know, that is a false sense of comfort as well. Stephanie, you've given such great advice. One last question. Where can my listeners find out more about you and My Savvy Life?
So my huge hub is still going to be my website, which is stephaniecarles.com. And of course, that has the links to all of the other platforms that I'm on, such as Twitter, and just if anybody's writing it down, it is Steph Elise Carles on Twitter, and then on Facebook you can find My Savvy Life. But again, probably one of the best places to start is going to be on my website, because then that's going to have the links to everything, and of course you can get to YouTube from there as well. So I so appreciate you having me on here, and I look forward to any of the listeners then reaching out and connecting with me further.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your journey and all your insights on social media and video and how you built your personal brand through media. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I also want to thank FreshBooks for their special offer for Women Worldwide listeners and for all of you for tuning in. Until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge, brought to you by Pure Performance Communications on the socialnetworkstation.com. You can reach Pure Performance at www.pureperformancecom.com. Women Worldwide is produced by SNI, and the opinions of the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of Social Network Intermedia, LLC, or the Social Network Station.